come to the Gospel, and my key verse is found this afternoon, in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1 to 2. This is the comfort that God calls. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. We live in a world which is without peace. You just have to look in the newspapers and you will see the conflict between Russia and Ukraine seemingly getting greater every day. You'll see further down the page the bombs which are going off in Israel and Gaza that dominate the news. In fact, nearer to home, you will find that there is a lack of peace there. I'm living now in Northern Ireland, and just in the last month there have been riots just 20 miles down the road from me. We see conflict, we see chaos, and we see strife. And it's not just in the news that we see these things, but we see them between people. We see them within families. We see that lack of peace and that conflict within ourselves. We are not at peace. Well, why is it that there is no peace? Why is it that we just can't all get along? Well, it's because we carry heavy guilt, shame, and regret. This is something that we all as humans carry. You will carry it within yourself, and there will be others around you which carry it in themselves as well. The Bible is realistic about our condition. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "The way of peace they have not known." And why is that? Well, it's because they are all under sin. And so when we look out at a world which isn't at peace, when we look into our own families, when we look within ourselves and see that peace is lacking, the Bible tells us it is because of sin. That sin is the source of our universal lack of peace. God says, because of our sin, we are like the troubled sea. There is no peace for the wicked. That's what he says in Isaiah 57. We don't have peace because we are not at peace with God. The Bible tells us that we are at war with God, that we carry a great debt, and we cannot rectify this. Nothing we do can make things right again. We can't produce this peace in ourselves. No, the Bible tells us that the only way that we can have peace is not through something we can do, but it's through something that is given. I don't know if you remember in the Old Testament, there was a great commander called Naaman. And he came to Elisha. And he had this leprosy. And his little servant girl, who had been taken from Israel, had told him, if only you would go and seek the prophet in Israel. The prophet of the true God. And so he came with camels laden with gold and silver, with everything that might pay that he might have this leprosy, this great problem that was bringing him such a lack of peace, that he would have it cured. And Elisha didn't even come out to meet him. He sent his servant and said, go and dip in the river 7 times. And Naaman, well, he was very cross, wasn't he? Do you remember why? Because he thought that he might have to do a great thing to earn that healing from God. And his servant came and remonstrated with him and said, look, if he'd asked you to do something great, if he'd asked you to conquer a nation or climb a great mountain or do something which was epic, then wouldn't you have done it? But he said, go and wash in a dirty river, and you feel upset and slighted. It's nothing we can do to earn peace. There's nothing we can do to stop the warfare that we have between God. It is only something which can be given. It's only something that can be received through obedience. We need something outside of ourselves. We need something given by God. And this is where the Lord speaks a word of comfort. We read in these key verses this evening, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. Why is it that the prophet was to say to the people, remember the prophet was someone who's speaking on God's behalf. God said, comfort into this land of warfare, into this land where there is no peace. Why is there to be comfort? Your warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Well, what an offer from God is being presented. The promise of the comfort of peace. God is so sure in what he is offering that he commands his oracle, the prophet Isaiah, to preach comfort, yes, comfort. He says it twice. There's real comfort here. God, who we are at war against, doesn't come with hard words of damnation and how in his might he's going to destroy us for the war that we have caused with him. No, he calls to those who are against him and he speaks words softly and sweet. This is the God, what God's heart is towards us. We're in crisis, we're in chaos, and God says, comfort. This is not a weak or shallow peace that God is offering. It's a real and deep and permanent peace. Why can comfort be expressed from God so confidently to us who are in so much need of it? Well, there are three reasons given, and these are the three things that we're going to look at tonight. The first is this, that her warfare is ended. Scripture says we're at war with God by nature, whether we realise it or not. In Romans 5 verse 10 it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Or in Colossians 1 21 it says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled. This is not some small conflict. It's not that we have a different of opinion of the right way for God. It's not that we're just mistaken. No, it's open hostility. It is a state of true war. And we see this all around us. Our hearts are in rebellion against him. We ignore him. We break his commands. We pursue our own ways instead of his. And we raise our defences and weapons against the Lord, thinking that we know what is best. In reality, we're choosing chaos instead of peace. But this is the heart of the gospel, and this is why it is called the gospel. It is good news, because God steps into this conflict to bring peace. In Ephesians 2 verse 14 it says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. There's a wall, God says, is between us. A barrier. And that barrier is our sin, our guilt, our rejection of God. Picture a fortified city which is under siege, with the soldiers resisting the king's peace overture which is coming, until the king voluntarily crosses the battlefield, bears the punishment for the crimes, and brings reconciliation instead of judgment. Christ has become our peace. We can trust it, because he reconciles us through his blood on the cross. How do we know that the peace is genuine? That it's not some trick? Well, because Jesus came and he died on the cross. He spread his blood that we might be forgiven. Colossians 1 says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Or Romans 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus crosses the battlefield. He sees the enemy that we are towards God, and he comes to make it right. General Robert E. Lee was one of the great generals in the American Civil War. But at the Battle of Appomattox, He surrendered in 1865. And the moment that the American Civil War came to an end, there are some letters which have been written by soldiers of the moment that the call of that the war was over came. And he describes it, one of the soldiers describes it like this. There was an immense feeling of relief. The heavy weight lifting, that the killing was over, that peace was at hand. Grant, General Grant, who was the victor, he chose leniency and reconciliation instead of punishment. He allowed the soldiers to keep their horses and their sidearms. He allowed them to keep their dignity and go to their homes. He chose peace instead of further conflict. And the soldiers write that a heavy weight lifted. There was an immense feeling of relief because peace was at hand. Well, this resonates with us for what Christ has done for us. We were defeated. We deserve punishment. And yet Jesus chooses reconciliation rather than destruction. How can we be comforted? Well, we need to see ourselves honestly. We're at war with God due to our sin and our disobedience. We must appreciate the cost. Christ has made peace not just by wiping things under a carpet or just saying, well, we'll ignore all of that hostility. No, he's made peace through his own blood, his suffering and his death. And we must respond by laying down our weapons, trusting his peace and turning from our sin. We need to embrace him as our Lord. Because this peace is not a temporary truce. It's everlasting peace, secured by his finished work. And that is what real comfort is. So how is it that God can say to Isaiah, say to the people, comfort, yes, comfort. It's because our warfare is over. We come and accept Christ. We are no longer enemies of God. What's the second thing that Isaiah tells us is the reason that there is comfort? Well, it's that her iniquity is pardoned. Our greatest barrier to peace is our own sin. We just thought about how our hearts are in rebellion against God, how we ignore him, how we break his commands and pursue our own way and raise defences. Well, we carry a heavy weight, a record of crimes against God. We know we're guilty. Everyone knows that they have done wrong things. People might excuse it and say, oh, well, that's to be human. But we all know that we've done wrong things. We look back over our lives and there are things that we regret. We say, oh, if only I could go back and do it differently. We know that we're guilty. And we know deep down that we deserve punishment. We cannot erase it ourselves. We can't undo our past. We need someone to pardon us, to remove our iniquities completely. But that is the good news of the gospel, is that we have a redeemer. Job cried out, and it's recorded for us in chapter 9, verse 33 of Job, if only there was someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together. And this is what the gospel tells us. There is now someone to mediate between us. There is the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament tells us that Jesus is this mediator. In Romans 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Or as Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It's a good job that he didn't say how far the north from the south is, because that's a measurable distance. We might one day catch up with us. It's not that far. But east from west, they can never, because it's infinite. That sin has been removed from us. He doesn't just put us on probation. He declares us not guilty in his sight. It shows the completeness of God's pardon. He's removed it so far from us that it can't even ever be brought back to us again. He declares us not guilty. Think of the prodigal son. He was completely forgiven. He came back and said, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And the father said, it's forgotten. It's over. Put a robe on him. Kill the fatted calf. My son's returned. Or think of the thief who was crucified alongside Jesus on the cross. It says in Luke 23, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you were under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It's amazing, isn't it? He recognizes that he has got great iniquity. He said to the other thief on the cross, we deserve to be here. This punishment is just. This man, this is God. He doesn't deserve to be here. It shows us the pure grace of God, doesn't it? A man with a criminal record, a man deserving of punishment, a man with nothing to boast in or bring forward except for simple faith in the Lord Jesus. And yet, Jesus pardons him completely. He promises him eternal peace. He could have quoted Isaiah here, couldn't he? He could have said, thief, your iniquity is pardoned. What peace that brought to him. There he was hanging on the cross. He was there for hours more. And yet he had more peace there, hanging on the cross, waiting for his legs to be broken so that he might die. He had more peace then than he had for the rest of his life. How is it we can be comforted? We must see ourselves honestly. We're guilty before God due to our sin and our disobedience. We've got to appreciate the cost. Christ made pardon possible by his own sufferings and death. And we must respond by coming to him in faith, trusting his promises instead of our own ability. The pardon is not temporary, fit. It's absolute and it's eternal. He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. He promises we will never face condemnation in him. Why was it that Isaiah was to preach comfort to the people? How did they know it was peace? Well, it wasn't just their warfare, it's over. It's that their iniquity was pardoned. No more. No more. Well, thirdly, Isaiah says, for she has received double from the Lord's hand, double for all her sins. Well, the Lord's declaration here signals abundant grace. We do not just break even, we are blessed far and above. We do not merely move from deficit to zero, but from deficit to surplus. The real meaning of grace and resultant peace is that in Christ we have the riches of God. It's not just that the slate is wiped clean, that you can have another go. Oh, forget all the sins of the past, be better. That's what many religions will preach to you. We'll forget about all those things you've done wrong before. Start again. Or how long, if we started again, would our deficit be right there in the minus figures again? No. The promise here is that we will receive double. We move from deficit to surplus. Romans 5 verse 20 is key in this. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. God is not stingy or restrictive with his grace. He is generous and overflowing. And this is the reason that we have real lasting peace. We said about the prodigal son earlier, but look at his return. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Well, this picture that Jesus was given was showing us the generous heart of God. He doesn't simply just give back what was lost. He lavishes his children with grace. The father prepares a feast. He restores the son's dignity. He honours him with a new ring, a new robe, a warm welcome. This is what God means when we receive double for our sin. When the prodigal son went away and returned back in great shame, the father didn't say, look, I'll give you a room, but stay out of sight. That would have been very forgiving, wouldn't it? I'll make sure you're fed, but you won't be my son again. This is what he expected, the son, just to be looked after because he knew how gracious his father was. But the father said, I'm restoring you to even higher heights than you were before. And it's the same that God does with us. He doesn't just wipe the balance clean, but he gives us the riches that Christ has inherited for us. He lavishes his children with grace. It's not just justice, it's not just balance, but superabundant mercy. And so we must appreciate the generosity of God's grace. We do not just break even, we are far more than resolved. Our peace is abundant. Our pardon is complete. Our reconciliation is rich. And this comes from the Lord's hand. It's freely given by his son. It's not by our merit. It's not by our ability. And this is real comfort to us, is it not? Comfort, yes, comfort my people. Warfare is ended. Iniquity is pardoned. And you're going to receive so much more than you lost. We have heard the greatest news for the world. Without peace. A world which is at war with God and with itself. That there is peace, pardon and abundant grace available in and through Jesus. That is what the gospel is. If you do not understand why it was Jesus came, well, this is why Jesus came. That you might have peace abundant. We don't find peace by ignoring our sin. We don't find peace by trying to redeem ourselves. We don't find peace by trying to do some great act for God and earning our way into heaven. No, we find it by turning to the one who made peace by his own blood. We do not find peace by adding up our good works. We find peace by resting in his finished work, for there is no other way. Picture for a moment the contrast we've been thinking about. We were at war with God, yet he chooses reconciliation instead of punishment. We were guilty and condemned, yet he chooses pardon instead of condemnation. We were empty and poor. We were in great debt, yet he chooses generosity instead of just fairness. He gives us much more than we deserve. This is the heart of the gospel. The good news and invitation, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you don't know this peace, come to him in faith. Come to him with his promises. Hold them and speak to him. God, you have promised that if I come to you, you will give me peace. God won't take that away. God won't say, no, that peace is not for you. You're to bring his promises to him and say, I have been told from your word that if I come to you, you will give me peace. And God will. He promises, whoever comes to me, I will be by no means cast out. Does that not give you some assurance? Turn away from your sin. Let down your defences. Say, Lord, I need your peace. I need your pardon. I need your abundant grace. If you already know him, well, rejoice and rest in his peace. Don't let the devil or the world try and rob you. God has promised it to you. Who can take this from you? Nothing. No one. Not even ourselves. Consider what you've been rescued from and what you've been blessed with. And let this peace transform your relationships, your worries, your doubts. For he is our peace. But if you don't know him, let me remonstrate with you. Come to him. Whatever you have done, whether you feel guilty or not, whether you feel that you are a great sinner or just a small one, you know that you are at war with God. You have not gone the way that he says you should. You're at rebellion with him. Your iniquity is great. You can't pay for it. What you owe is such a great debt. But God says, comfort, yes, comfort my people. Your warfare is over. Your iniquity is pardoned. You will receive double from the Lord's hand for all your sins. Is that not a great promise? Come to him today. Amen.